А вот как вернуть?
But how can we return and get back love? Mr. Dugin, please.
Благодарю вас.
Thank you very much. We didn't rehearse with Mr. Malafeev, but he ended where I wanted to take over. And there's not going to be a short lecture about Hegel, how he described family from the standpoint of the philosophy of the spirit, because that could become the philosophical content of our care for families. That's a program of a sort that is still relevant today. In fact, it has taken on some additional significance. So Hegel spoke about four qualities of families in the fourth volume of his works. And the first sense or meaning of the family, according to Hegel,
is
quite interestingly formulated. Children are not the product of love. Children are love. That's their material incarnation. That is embodiment of love. What follows from that, Hegel says, look at how a father or mother looks at their child. It's not just one object that likes or subject likes the other. It's the embodiment of love. Children are love itself. And when we're talking about the mystery of love, about the fact that God is love, to the same extent that God is love, children are love. So God in that philosophical sense, that's a very deep idea, very profound idea. When a child is thrown up in the air, how the child is getting caught. Parents are basically dancing around the child, even if they have a lot of children. They never become objects. They never get alienated. They never turn them into things. In society, people look at others as tools, as objects of their manipulation, but never in their families. And according to Hegel, the family is the beginnings of morality. The moral order doesn't begin with law, economics, or individual morality, but with family, according to Hegel. Family is the beginning of the moral order of things. That's a very deep idea. And the very first meaning, goal, or form of morality is to become a territory of love embodied in children. And for that to be embodied in children, it has to be in the family between the husband and the wife, between the older generation and the younger generation. That should be the territory of love, incarnate, not abstract. It should be immanent love. That's what family should be. The second goal of a family, according to Hegel, also quite interestingly, the second goal is quite important. It's the territory of speech. A family is where people talk, where people are taught to speak, and where incessantly, continuously, from the beginning the family got started, the conversation is ongoing, everyone with everyone. If there's less children, there's more polyphony. If there are more, there's more of it. But it should be a speech ensemble. So a family is a territory of speech, of language, of conversation. And how important it is to cultivate this with any family. It is important, therefore, to cultivate the language of the family. So depending upon what kind of speech patterns the child would hear as soon as the child gets born into this world. And according to Adolf Portner, the child gets into the hammock of words, into some space, some fabric that is comprised of speeches, even when the mother is still pregnant, or even before pregnancy. It is very important for parents to pay attention to what they are saying in the right language, using the right intonations, deeply rooted in Russian and so on. if you are doing something curtly and cursorily, that could impact the mentality. So family is a territory of the language. It's a privileged territory. That's why the mother or the father would be reading fairy tales to the children, and the intonations of the stories, the inflections, the prepositions conjunctions, they subconsciously enter into the minds of people. So the family is the territory of speech, of language. The third definition of a family, but according to Hegel, family is the location where a collective heritage is produced. What is very important is what is created within the family is not created in order to be consumed right away. It is something that represents the connection between between generations. The previous generation created something not just to consume, but also to pass on to the next generation. And that's why it is a very important function of caring for the other. This includes the future. In economics, in short-term economics, there's no need in family to speak about short-term, to create something that is to be immediately consumed. We are creating something that will be consumed by our grandchildren. So this has a very different ethical nature than just accumulation of wealth. Simple, of course, and very much in contrast with individual consumption. Common inheritance, a common heritage, is very much opposed to, you know, the hedonistic culture of consumption. When you're accumulating your own heritage, you are taking care of that. You are making sure that what you accumulate is not just the quality of things, but also not just the quantity of things, but the quality. It has to be moral, and that would make it stronger. That's the third meaning of the family. And the fourth one, according to Hegel, is that the family is needed for man to become a man. That's where a human being is created. When a person gets born, it's not yet a human being, a fully fledged one. It's not enough to get born looking as a human. It is important to get born within a family and to get raised within a family. That's what makes an individual, a human being. That's what imbues us with all of the infinite richness, despite all of the differences between the genders and all that. All of the cultural elements are in the family. The family is an educator. Its calling is to make a human being a human being. These are the four definitions of a family, according to Hegel. And what's interesting, I would like to say this in conclusion, that Hegel doesn't stop there in describing the social family. He's saying that this can be compared with nature. And then he builds a history, or rather a theory of family cosmology. He said, time is father, space is mother, and what they give birth to is ether or the bodily world. So it the family has its own voice, has its own inheritance, it has its own education, and it has its own formation and the goal for the macrocosmic family. And it goes all the way to the state, because the state is what records all of the common and fundamental what we have in the world, in the nature. So the family is universal. And that's where I would like to stop my quick talk. Thank you very much.